to agenda item 14, hunting contests. This is a briefing and public comment. Anise, good morning.
Good morning. Good morning, commissioners. Yes, today I will be presenting a briefing on hunting contest rule. This is WAC 220-412-110 hunting contest, and then 220-413-0. Excuse me, 060 hunting restrictions. Okay, but by RCW, the director can administer rules adopted by the commission to govern time, place, and manner of holding these hunting and fishing contests. And also, a person shall not promote, conduct, or hold, or sponsor a contest without getting such a permit. So these are not WACs, these are RCWs that kind of put the onus on the department to manage these types of contests. Some of the background, as many of you are aware, we've had a conversation that's gone on for a couple of years now around contests and what we should do with them. And recently the commission asked the department to modify the rules related to contests to achieve basically two main things. One of them is to make sure that illegal contests are not occurring. And then the other one is to discontinue issuing contests that can target large numbers of animals with emphasis on
furry animals. So, I think you're talking from a PowerPoint and we're not seeing it.
Oh, you're not. I thought I shared it. Sorry. Apologize for that. You seeing it now?
No.
No.
Highlighted. Let me try this one. How about now?
Your PowerPoint is furloughed, I guess.
Yeah, maybe so.
There you go. Now you're getting there.
Now I got it.
Yep.
My apologies. I thought it had it highlighted on my screen, but sorry about that. Anyway, basically I'll go back. The commission asked the department to modify rules related to hunting contests to achieve two main goals: to make sure their legal contests are not occurring, and then to discontinue issuing permits for contests that target large numbers of animals with emphasis on fur-bearing mammals. So, you know, I won't belabor this, but we currently have a process of a WAC 224-12-110. Basically, a person wishing to hold a hunting contest must comply with the following provisions. They have to be a nonprofit. The permit shall be submitted by the department. The application needs to be submitted to the department at least 30 days before the contest is held. Application must include the permit fee, and then consents contests are restricted to the species approved on the permit. And then total value of prizes must not exceed $2,000, and entry fees or requests for donations are prohibited. And then it's unlawful to fail to comply with the conditions of the hunting contest. And hunting contests, which may adversely affect wildlife, will be denied. So that's how we currently, the WAC reads that we issue contests with. So here are some of the recommended changes to the WAC. So basically WAC 224-12-110, that's the hunting contest WAC. We added the following language to this WAC: contests involving classified and unclassified wildlife species without a bag limit are prohibited and will not be permitted. So this language will not allow for the permitting of contests that promote the taking of animals, as many animals as possible, since the species allowed have a bag limit and must be adhered to by rule. The second recommended rule change is to 224-13-060, and that's the the hunting restrictions rule. The language there we added is that it is unlawful to participate in a hunting contest for which no permit has been issued by the department. A violation of this subsection is punishable by an infraction under RCW 7715-160. So this language was intended to make it clear that a permit is required, and it makes it an infraction to operate a contest without a permit. So I'll maybe go into, we got a lot of public comment on these rules. Over 2,000 folks commented. About 60% of the non-neutral online respondents supported the proposed rule changes. I do have to say that a lot of the folks that did not support the change actually wanted more restrictive, they wanted basically no contest at all. So that I just, so not everybody that disagreed with the spirit of the changes. They just wanted it to go further. There were about 25% of the people that disagreed with the changes that actually wanted no change at all. And then 69% of email respondents, so we received quite about 150 emails as well as the online, and 69% of those folks supported the recommended changes as well. So 40% of the non-neutral online respondents opposed the proposed rule change, and then 31% of email respondents opposed the recommended rule change, and about 3% were neutral. So this is on rule 224.12.110, which is the hunting contest rule. Now on the other WAC, which is the one that makes it an infraction to hold a contest without getting a permit. I'll back up. These are the common themes that we heard from those folks that commented on the hunting contest rule. Basically, the main themes that we heard over and over again is that coyotes play an important ecological role. They're opposed to hunting contests. They should be banned entirely. They're opposed to contests except for control of invasive species. They opposed hunting in general. They wanted to reduce or eliminate prizes. Some of them wanted us to make it clear that it does not ban dog field trials or training, which it does not. It's a whole different WAC. And then some folks thought that numerically based contests are needed to control coyote numbers. Others said that contests can help reduce predator populations to help ungulates. And then some said that contests can be an economic boost to small communities. And then we got quite a few folks saying that there's too many regulations that we need to stop regulating a lot of these things.
Anise, just a moment. Commissioner McIsaac, did you have your hand up?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. On your previous slide, you used the phrase non-neutral respondents.
Yeah.
What does that mean?
So when we do an online survey, folks can say they're neutral on the issue. They may write something in the comment field, but then they vote neutral on whether they agree or disagree. And so it makes it difficult to if you include the neutral folks, sometimes it skews it. So I just put them at the end, how many folks were neutral, and it was about 3% were neutral. But then I calculate the non-neutral folks just to see where people sit that actually did weigh in.
And on your next slide, how many of the respondents who were against this were opposed to all hunting?
I had to glean it out of the comments. So it wasn't really, it was hard to enumerate that because you had to basically count the comments. It was a fairly high proportion. I would say about 50% of the folks that opposed it said they wanted no hunting at all.
Okay.
Okay. On the rule for hunting restrictions, again, we received about the same amount of comments, about 2,000. On this one, there was more people that were willing to say they agreed with this rule because it did make it illegal to have an illegal contest, which you would think most people would be for. So 76% of non-neutral online respondents supported the proposed rule change. 24% did not support it, and 5% were neutral. And then one of the common themes we saw on this one, that the penalty should be more than just an infraction. And so that's the summary of comments that we got on these two rules, and I'm happy to take any questions.
Commissioner Thorburn, you have your hand up.
Mine isn't really a question. I just want to make a point. In the first rule regarding hunting contests, the change that Anis pointed out was that it will prohibit contests involving unclassified and classified wildlife in species without bag limits. It actually makes another change as well, because it strikes some language. The current clause is contests are restricted to species approved on the permit. And that actually, that language is actually going to be struck and replaced by this limitation. I think that's important. It's something certainly that I consider.
Okay, we have three commissioners with their hands up in this order, please. Commissioner Linville, Commissioner Smith, and then Commissioner McIsaac. You're muted, Molly.
I finally succumbed to that. Sorry, everybody. My question is on the rule of making illegal hunting contests, or making hunting, non-permitted hunting contests illegal. Is there a good and clear definition in that of what a hunting contest is?
Well, there is not. And then we went to the AG's office and asked them if it is necessary to do that. And they didn't feel like it was, because even though we're saying that it's unlawful to participate in a hunting contest, it currently is illegal by RCW to participate in a hunting contest without it. And then there is no definition. So they didn't feel that the definition was going to add to the or clarify the issue at all. So they suggested we leave it the way it is and just deal with it on a case-by-case basis.
Okay. I'm glad that you took that to the AG. Thank you for doing that. I think, really wise. I have a follow-on question of that. We got a couple of very thoughtful letters around using these for a tool as far as management. I think Commissioner Thorburn brought up the example of maybe reducing coyote numbers on, say, a sage-grouse lek. I just want to be clear of two things. One, that's not how – I should ask this as a question. Have these hunting contests been used for a tool by the department to reduce predator numbers in, say, threatened or endangered species habitat? To your knowledge.
No, because, I mean, these contests are not held by the department. They're held by nonprofit folks. If we thought there was an issue in an area and we wanted to reduce it, this doesn't preclude the department from holding any kind of action, because it's not a permit for us. It's a permit for the public.
Perfect. That was my second question, and that's exactly what I wanted to clarify. Thank you, Anise.
Commissioner Smith.
Thank you. Yeah, Anise, thanks for the presentation. Just a semantic point first. I am a hunter, clarify that. And I've never perceived hunting as a contest. I think these are not hunting contests, they're killing contests. And that's just my point of view. That's my editorializing. But I do know that a number of states have banned these, Anise, Colorado, California, and these contests. Is there anything you can share with us about their experience after having banned these?
I don't know that there's a lot of information. Most of them just recently started banning them, so I don't know that there's a lot of information coming out of them. I think the one that's the longest is California, and initially they just banned the prize aspect of it. So there's really not a lot of data on it. I think most states don't have a lot of people participating in this. Neither do we. I mean, we have one or two contests in the state a year. I think the most we've ever had was six in one year. And so it's not a big part of what goes on out there. So I don't know that these states changing that really affected a whole lot as far as that goes. And maybe the data will bear out in a year or two once we start getting some of it back.
Thank you.
Before I go on to Commissioner McIsaac, I see that the Honorable Joe Pinesco has his hand up.
Thank you, Chair Carpenter. I just wanted to add one point of clarification in response to the exchange about the lack of definition of the phrase hunting contests. By statute currently, it is a natural resources infraction for somebody to sponsor a hunting contest without obtaining the permit from the department. So that has been, that's a statute. It's not even a matter of department policy. The legislature itself has mandated that. I'm not aware of any cases actually having been filed against someone for trying to do a contest without obtaining the permit. But it's just, that is the way it's been on the books. So this rule, the only change that this rule is doing in that aspect, it is adding a new infraction to make it to make it an infraction for somebody to participate in an unpermitted contest. So that's the new addition. And given that it's already on the books without there being a definition, there's not any harm being caused by adding this additional infraction without inserting the definition. It would take that there would need to be more work done to if there was an effort to try to come up with a definition. It's sort of one of those you know it when you see it type scenarios, and one can refer to the dictionary for supplying a meaning or understanding of what would qualify as a hunting contest for purposes of the statute. That's everything.
Thank you for that, Joel. Before a question, Jim Anderson, Commissioner Anderson, did you have your hand up and now do you take it down before I go to Commissioner McIsaac?
I do have a question. I haven't taken it down.
Okay, we'll go to Commissioner McIsaac and then to you, please.
Okay.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. My question was answered in the dialogue between Commissioner Linville and then Mr. Pinesco's response.
Okay, thank you. Commissioner Anderson.
Yes, two-part question here. Can you provide an example of hunting contests that would still occur if the rule is changed? So there's reference, getting a little confusing with the double negatives and the way it's all phrased here, right? So give me an example of a hunting contest that would continue to be permitted in the future should this be approved, examples. And then secondly, can you speak to the notion or idea that hunting contests reduce the impacts upon ungulates? You've talked about in terms of management in general, but there's a notion that these hunting contests can reduce the impact upon ungulates. And I want to know if the department has a perspective on that or some science on that. Thanks.
The first one, an example. So basically like a big buck contest or an antler measurement contest, that would still be something you could do under this rule. You could also hold a contest for, something that has a bag limit and say, if people reach their bag limit first or whatever, they could, the first person to come in with a bag limit wins the prize or something to that effect. So those types of contests could still occur. So that's what it limits it to basically is things that already have a bag limit in our rules. As far as information about whether these contests are beneficial to ungulates, we really don't have data on that. And then the numbers that these folks are harvesting usually are not going to be that much or aren't going to affect the population of these species the way that you would think. I mean, the research that's out there is you would have to harvest 50% of the coyote population 5 years in a row to actually reduce their population. So we're not talking biologically that this is either necessary or not necessary. I don't think either way, biologically, it's not going to make a difference.
Okay, thank you.
Commissioner Thorburn, did you have a comment?
I have actually several observations. There has been a lot of discussion about the use of these contests for predator management. However, I would just remind all of us that we basically manage hunting for recreation. Occasionally, we will do kind of a surgical rule to impact predator management or some other form of management. A couple of recent examples, we increased spring bear in the Blues to see if we could help with calf elk calf recruitment in a population that is declining. We have increased a ewe harvest in a sheep population that has a problem with Moby. So occasionally we use hunting as a management strategy, but overall our reason for hunting is recreation. Our management of hunting is for recreation. And I learned that hunters have different tastes. I learned that very well during the baiting debate that we went through, the ungulate baiting debate. Hunters practice their recreation in different ways. Some do it to get meat in their freezer. Others do it to get that trophy. Others enjoy contests. I mean, contests are generally part of recreation. We permit all of those. We promote some quality herds to allow for trophy hunting. So that kind of gets me to ask Commissioner Smith about his comment about these being killing contests. The last time I looked, sort of the goal of hunting is to kill. These are animals that have no bag limit. They're not easy to hunt, whether you're doing it all in one day or whether you're out hunting. So what is the difference between a killing contest and a hunting contest? It seems to me that that's a moral judgment, and I'm very troubled by that.
Well, if I can respond, Larry?
You can, please, Commissioner Smith.
I preface that by saying I was editorializing from my perspective. I've been a lifelong hunter. Hunting does go through stages, how you measure success. Success early on is getting your limit. Then you move into a second phase of, it's not the limit, it's the size of the trophy buck or whatever, the wood duck that has the best plumage for tying flies later. And then you move into a later phase as you mature through the hunting world, through hunting life, where the measurement of success is the experience of being in nature, of being with comrades and friends, that actually killing becomes less important. You're right, Commissioner Thornburg. Killing is part of hunting, but it is not just the kill. If it was, it wouldn't, that would minimize it. It's watching the marsh come alive at dawn. It's watching the chickadee land on your gun barrel in a snowstorm when you're in a deer blind. And I could go on and on, but I'm editorializing from my perspective as a lifelong hunter. And I've never put the word contest in my mind with hunting. Those are two different things. Hunting is a highly personal activity, you know, because most of the time you're by yourself when you're doing it. So it's a time for reflection and it's a time for learning. And it's being a hunter early on is what led me into a career in the environment. And I'm proud to be a hunter. And have I killed? Yes. But as I matured throughout my life, I stopped. Maybe I didn't want to have five ducks in the boat. Maybe one was fine, you know, or maybe I just let a deer pass and got satisfaction by watching it. So I'm not morally opposed to killing. I've done my share. I've sent a lot of critters to critter heaven, but I'm just saying that there's different stages, and I never equate contests with hunting. That's the end of my editorializing.
Okay. I think that's the end of this discussion. Anise, do you have any closing comments before we go to public comment?
Eric has his hand up too, Larry.
I'm sorry?
Eric has his hand up too.
Okay. Then Eric, take it away.
Thank you. I will keep this short. I just wanted to maybe reinforce that all of this conversation around contest is very appropriate, because I just want to make sure that that we're clear that that really is what we are discussing here. These proposed regulation changes do not really impact hunting opportunity. Coyote is still open 365 days a year with an unlimited bag. People can still hunt coyotes. They can still, do that in lots of ways. It's the aspect of the prize-based contest associated with that activity that is at the heart of these proposals. And so I just wanted to kind of reinforce that, make sure we weren't losing sight of the fact that coyote hunting in itself is not impacted here, neither is that opportunity nor the bag limit.
Thank you, Eric. Commissioner McIsaac, you have a comment?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just one follow-up question on adjacent states. So what could you remind us? I think you answered this at a commission meeting before, but what does Oregon and Idaho have for rules on this, and or the western states west of the Rockies?
So Idaho currently does not regulate it, so they don't have any rules on the book saying you can or can't do them. So the people do them, and it's not run through the state agency. Oregon took a stab at a law that has not passed to try to make them illegal, but they are, I believe, still legal in Oregon. California has made them illegal, or has made it illegal to have prizes associated with them. Let's see what other Western states. Most other Western states still, well, no, New Mexico, Arizona, and Colorado have made them illegal, either by commission or by law. So it's just, and then a lot of states on the east coast are starting to do the same. It's been a push from a lot of organized groups to highlight these contests and to make, you know, these changes happen.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Anise. We need to move into the open public comment, and then we can editorialize or have discussion on the backside if there's no objection. Nikki, would you go ahead and do the intro to the public comment section?
Yes, sir. We will now take public comment from attendees. As a reminder, everyone receives 3 minutes for comment. Everyone is currently muted, so if you have a question, please raise your hand. If you're on the computer, the raise hand button appears under your name. If you're on the phone, please press *9 and wait to hear you have been unmuted. If you have pre-registered, you still need to raise your hand. All right, so currently we have 5 folks' hands up. We'll go ahead and start with Morgan Gamble. Go ahead, Morgan.
Hi, it's Morgan here again. I just have a quick question on this. You know, with the bag limit on coyotes being unlimited as it is, I'm a huge predator hunter. I'm a huge, hunter in general, outdoorsman, all that kind of stuff. I've participated in a couple competitions over the years, and I've never seen a difference in a competition where it's any different than me just going out with a couple buddies and going coyote hunting. So I'm curious as to has anybody looked into that correlation? You know, I mean, is it just the difference is there's prizes involved, and that's why we're looking at banning it? And if so, are we looking at banning Ducks Unlimited banquets? Are we looking at Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation banquets where there's prizes given out on that? You know, I mean, it's looking from a conservation perspective, with ranchers around here, you know, we need coyotes limited, and what's the difference between me going out with 3 friends and shooting 5 coyotes one night, or me going out and doing what's being called battle hunting, you know, because you're out with so many other people and only getting 3 because, you know, let's face it, these competitions don't slaughter them like a lot of people make it out to be.
Okay, any questions, Morgan? Okay, Morgan, thanks. Thank you for your comments today. Next.
Next, we have Diane. I'm going to say her last name wrong. I'm sorry. Gallegos. Go ahead, Diane.
Hi, Diane Gallegos, Director of Wolfhaven International. Good morning, Chair Carpenter, Commissioners, Director Suswin, and staff. In early 2012, I began receiving calls from some of our Wolfhaven volunteers asking about a wildlife derby in Idaho that they'd seen advertised. Participants could buy for prizes, such as a set of tires, a rifle, cash, for killing as many animals as possible. In response to the concerned volunteers, I contacted Idaho Fish and Game, and the biologist I spoke with was quite puzzled that I was contacting them about killing contests instead of doing something about the ones taking place in Washington. And I will admit I was gobsmacked. Only a few weeks later, an article in the Spokesman Review describing the successful killing of almost 300 coyotes in a Washington contest brought a flood of calls to my office from the public. Most callers were totally unaware that such contests have been and are being held in our state. We testified the first time in front of the commission in 2014, and the response from the staff was that communities enjoy the camaraderie of the contest and that some use the contests to target practice on coyotes prior to hunting season. I really believe today that a greater number of people, including many hunters that I've spoken with, including those in my own family, find these contests unethical. They don't align with the North American model or the values of the Washington Department of Fish and Wildlife. I agree with Commissioner Smith that killing in a contest without utilizing the animal is not hunting or the values that I associate with hunting, but it's killing. Sanctioning these contests does not reflect positively on the department or hunters in general. I appreciate and support the language presented by the department and encourage the commission to adopt this new language. Thank you.
Any questions for Diane?
Kim's hands up.
Yes, I do.
Kim Thorburn, Commissioner, please.
Hi, Diane. Thank you for your testimony. Do you hunt?
I don't. My dad and my brother do, but I do not.
Whose ethics are you talking about?
Yeah, so I think, you know, when we look at values associated with traditional hunting and those that are ascribed to in the North American model, you talk about the use of the animal that's being killed, and that if the animal is killed for purposes where it's not being used, that that doesn't fit under that umbrella of what we consider traditional hunting ethics. So many of these animals are just thrown away.
Do you think that that's the case with having no bag limits? A lot of it is for hunting.
Sure. So I think that that I am not in any way stating that I'm against hunting. Or am I seeing this new proposed language as being against hunting coyotes? It doesn't keep people from what they perceive as a problem with a particular animal. It doesn't keep them from killing nutria, which was mentioned in one of the comments, one of the written comments. It's about the department sanctioning contests with prizes for killing animals that aren't being used for any purpose.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you for your comments, Dan. Next, Nikki. By the way, Anise, can we clear the screen? The question people are asking to be able to see the commission participants. Okay, well, we'll work on that. Next, Nikki.
Next, we've got Marie Newmiller, followed by David Lynn. Go ahead, Marie.
Thank you, commissioners, for the opportunity to speak on this issue, and thank you to the department staff for their presentation. My name is Marie Newmiller, and I am the executive director of the Inland Northwest Wildlife Council. Our group was encouraged recently when we saw Commissioner Thornburg's letter to the editor in the Spokesman Review. It often seems that hunters are a favorite target, and we are concerned that our recreational experiences and food harvest opportunities are slowly being chipped away simply because they may appear offensive to some individuals who do not participate in the sport. Hunters are the largest contributors to conservation, both financially and voluntarily. The INWC and its numerous volunteers have participated in and funded many projects with WDFW, including helicopter costs for collaring big game for population studies, nets for deer studies, bear dogs for conflict management, and many more. In addition to our volunteer efforts, hunter activities, including hunting contests, can be utilized for conservation and population control. We are concerned that this decision is being made strictly for optics and not on science and cooperation. Hunting contests are not just about killing. They offer training opportunities for new shooters while providing a service in areas where predator populations have gotten out of control and potentially posing a risk to threatened small game species. Our small game committee has proposed a hunting contest in cooperation with WDFW in areas where small game populations are threatened and using the contest in coordination with our mentorship committee. This proposed rule would eliminate that possibility. Working together, we can find ways to maintain the balance for local wildlife, but fighting against each other may lead to a great loss. I urge the commission to deny this proposed ban and instead urge the department to find ways to create a cooperative effort through the existing permit process with hunters to utilize contests as a conservation tool instead of declaring hunters indiscriminate, immature killers and banning our activities. Hunters like myself care about population numbers and participation in all aspects of our sport with respect to wildlife populations and habitat for the benefit of all Washington and future generations. While I personally have not participated in a hunting contest, I don't like seeing hunting opportunities removed simply because people do not agree with them or because of the optics. If we continue in that vein, then all hunting will eventually be banned because let's be honest, the optics of hunting as a whole can be offensive to some. Thank you for your time and consideration.
Marie, this is Larry Carpenter. I have a question about the term you use, small game. Is that inclusive of upland birds of many varieties? I assume that's the case, but I just wanted some clarification.
Yes, our small game committee mainly focuses on upland birds and things like rabbits and all those populations. Coyotes somewhat fall into our small game group, but we more put them with our big game and predator groups.
Thank you for that. Commissioner Thornburg has her hand up.
Thanks, Marie. You raised a point that reminded me of something that I wanted to mention, and that is, you know, we do have large-scale coyote removal outside of contests in Washington State, and I think it is not uncommon. To use a double negative, we as a department do it to protect small game and other imperiled species. Farmers and ranchers do it to protect livestock. And I'll say this personally, I would rather have that be recreational than to put out the expense to take out a large number, usually out of helicopters. I work a lot with the Inland Northwest Wildlife Council. They are huge contributors to conservation, and I really like the suggestion that Marie put forward, and it does concern me that this rule would eliminate that opportunity.
Okay, we have Commissioner Anderson has his hand up. We have Questions are great, but we do have quite a few more commenters that we need to get through before we have some maybe final dialogue on this subject. Commissioner Anderson. Take the mute off, Jim, please.
I'm Thank trying you. To be a good person by having the mute on. And then I also... So this follows up the Commissioner Thorburn's comments a little bit, but I have been in conversations in the past with people who are expert coyote hunters. In fact, they contract with farmers and the like for assistance, and their concern with kind of a wide open hunting of coyotes and hunting contests is that it can lead to behavioral changes by the coyotes in particular, and that it makes it even more difficult to have management reductions because the animals get wise and they actually make it more difficult to reduce their population. So just I think we talk about this, but we don't sometimes recognize that there can be behavioral changes that can occur that can make things more difficult.
Thank you, Commissioner Anderson. Thank you, Marie, for your comments.
Thank you.
Nikki, next, please.
Next is David Lynn, followed by Sophia Ressler. Go ahead, David.
Good morning. And I'd like to thank Commissioner Smith for his thoughtful comments about the difference between hunting and killing. I'm speaking in favor of the proposed changes to wildlife hunting contests. However, I think they do not go far enough to stop this senseless killing. The brutal contests should be banned entirely because they are inconsistent with the values of a civilized society. They're no different than cockfighting, dogfighting, or any other such blood sport where animals are tortured or killed for amusement. The proposals would permit the department to continue issuing such, sanctioning such contests, and I believe there's no situation in which that would be warranted. To even use the term hunting is a gross distortion of the language. Contests are not about hunting. They're about killing for the sole purpose of killing the most animals or the largest animal. There's no wildlife management theory that supports this type of killing. They're nothing more than legalized poaching and have the effect of devaluing life, thus making it easier for some to rationalize their own poaching. Some may argue that these contests are used to control a certain population of animals, say coyotes, that are too large and endangering the population of other animals. But experts in wildlife management agree that killing contests do not manage game and animal populations or address individual problem animals. All species play a vital role in healthy ecosystems. Coyotes, for example, provide a number of natural ecological services, helping to control disease transmission, cleaning up carrion, keeping rodent populations in check, increasing biodiversity, and removing sick animals from the gene pool. Wildlife killing contests only glorify violence and send a message to our youth that killing is fun and life is cheap. Many contest organizers hope to expand their base, have even created youth categories, encouraging children as young as 10 to participate. I think the state should never support such violent activities, but rather use its resources to crack down on those who do. Thank you for your time.
Any questions of David? David, thank you for your comments. Next, Nikki.
Next is Sophia Ressler, followed by Toby Cooper. Go ahead, Sophia.
Good morning. I'm Sophia Ressler, and I'm speaking on behalf of the Center for Biological Diversity. Thank you to the Commission and the Department for taking up this incredibly important topic. I want to provide statements from wildlife management professionals across the country to support the adoption of the department's drafted language. First, killing coyotes does not boost game species populations. The Pennsylvania Game Commission stated, after decades of using predator control, such as paying bounties with no effect, and the emergence of wildlife management as a science, the agency finally accepted the reality that predator control does not work. Predators don't compete with our hunters for game. Second, killing coyotes does not decrease conflict with livestock. The New York Department of Environmental Conservation recognizes that most problems can be avoided with proper husbandry techniques. It is much easier to prevent depredation from occurring than it is to stop it once it starts. Third, killing coyotes does not reduce their numbers. Colorado Parks and Wildlife states that many eradication programs have been attempted in other North American cities and all have proven extensive failures. Even the best eradication efforts cannot remove all the coyotes, and research has proven such eradication will cause the remaining coyotes to increase reproduction, creating larger litters. Thus, removal programs lead to increased reproduction by the remaining coyote populations, and populations quickly meet or exceed pre-control numbers. And Wyoming Fish and Game stated that more often, predator control programs also reduce non-target bird and mammal populations and upset the ecological balance of the area, leading to compounded problems. Further, coyotes are beneficial to ecosystems, ranchers, and urban communities. The Missouri Department of Conservation has said coyotes feed on smaller animals and thus keep their populations in check. They also kill old, injured, sick animals unfit to survive. As scavengers, they eat carrion and therefore help clean the woods and fields. And the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources, along with many other states, recognize that in agricultural areas, coyotes prey on rodents that damage crops. I'll leave you with two statements. The first from Michael Sutton, a hunter and former president of the California Fish and Game Department, who said, "Awarding prizes for wildlife killing contests is both unethical and inconsistent with our current understanding of natural systems. Such contests are an anachronism and have no place in modern wildlife management." And finally, Mike Finley, another hunter and former chair of the Oregon Fish and Wildlife Commission, stated, "Killing large numbers of predators as part of an organized contest or competition is inconsistent with sound science-based wildlife management and antithetical to the concepts of sportsmanship and fair chase." Thank you for listening to my testimony.
And Commissioner Thorburn has a comment or question.
I would just point out, because non-lethals comes up in many of our discussions, the non-lethals that I use to protect my livestock and pets are fencing. I've still had dogs dragged off. The chickens get taken pretty regularly. I prefer not to use box lights because I don't like the light contamination. And generally, my animals have been dragged off by coyotes in the middle of the day, so fox lights wouldn't work. So I do attempt non-lethals, but I've still lost a number of animals to coyotes. And I just want to point that out. It's always given as an alternative. I think all of us try that. There's no guarantee.
Thank you, Commissioner Thorburn. Thank you for your comments, Sophia. We still have 12 people left. We're going to end it at 12, but I'm going to ask the callers to, we're going to reduce them to 2 minutes. We want to hear what they have to say, but we do have some other items on our agenda here at some point. And I would suggest that if you have a particular bias on this issue, when you call in, please make it clear and be as efficient with the time as possible. Thank you very much. Nikki?
Okay, so I have the very last person is Diane Hendricks, just so we have that for the record. All right, next is Toby Cooper. Go ahead, Toby. Make sure to unmute yourself.
There we go. Okay, we do a lot of these Zoom conferences, but this is the first with your format, so sorry about that. So good to meet the commissioners. This is my first time testifying before this group, and I'm finding it very enlightening. I appreciate the professionalism and the skills, knowledge base that I see on the group here. It's terrific. So I can just... My comments have already been submitted in writing. I'll just say that I am in support of the regulations. We do want to see these contests ended or severely regulated anyway, such that they don't have the impact on the wildlife and the wildlife ecosystems and communities that we're seeing. I do have a graduate degree in wildlife management from the University of Michigan. I only say that because it allows my professional training to see these contests for the ecological kind of atrocities that they are. There is simply no rational or scientific basis for literally attacking a trophic level of a wildlife ecosystem, including apex species that often intrinsically reproduce slowly, and that these contests take place on an indiscriminate basis purely for the entertainment value. I'm a member of a family that's lived in Washington for 124 years, and I find these contests just appalling. Certainly as a matter of profit, there shouldn't be allowed. Hunters and non-hunters alike agree that such contests are a waste of Washington wildlife and give ethical hunters a bad name. I would like to add something about burden of proof here. One of the goals of wildlife management is that the assumption is that you're somehow benefiting wildlife. So the burden of proof is on the management regime and how it benefits. But there just doesn't seem to be a benefit here to simply taking on the indiscriminate killing and the complete violation of any numerical limits or whatever.
So hey, Sophie, this is Nikki. You're at time.
Well, I hope you do vote to approve these regs and end these contests once and for all. And thank you very much.
Any questions from the commission?
Yeah, Larry, I just wanted to say to Toby, go blue, another U of M natural research graduate.
Oh, too much editorializing.
Be careful. Be careful.
Thanks for your comments.
Commissioner Smith, you're very predictable. I knew that was coming.
Okay, Nikki, please.
Okay, next is Dan Paul, followed by Michelle Blake. Go ahead, Dan. Make sure to unmute yourself. Go ahead, Dan. Okay, we have you unmuted, Dan, so you should be okay.
Okay, let's move on and we'll get back to him, please.
All right. Next is Michelle Blake. Go ahead, Michelle.
Good morning, Chair Carpenter, members of the committee. My name is Michelle Blake. I am the Western Region 1 coordinator with the Mountain Lion Foundation, and we do strongly support the proposed rule changes. We thank the commission for considering these rules. We do know the majority of the public supports this change, too. That's well reflected in the 2,000-plus online public comments that the commission received prior to today. And as your staff pointed out, 3/4 of those were either in support of adding those rules or of fully eliminating hunting contests altogether. These are highly unpopular. Because killing sprees like those that take place in hunting contests are not only out of step with our shared values and with ethical hunting standards of fair chase, they're also ineffective. They're even counterproductive as a management tool. Scientific studies have repeatedly shown that indiscriminate killing actually causes more wildlife conflicts with human and domestic animals. And Sophia Ressler did a tremendous job of highlighting some of those statistics. So we do urge the commission to adopt the two proposed rule changes. Join the other states that have ended or restricted the practice of hunting contests. And I thank you for your time.
Any questions of Michelle? Michelle, thank you for your call and comments. Next, Nikki.
Okay, we're going to try Dan Paul again. Go ahead, Dan.
Can you hear me now?
Yep, we can hear you.
Okay, I'm so sorry about that. Good morning, Chair Carpenter and members of the commission, Director Suswin, department staff. My name is Dan Paul, and I'm the Washington Senior State Director for the Humane Society of the United States. And today I'm also speaking on behalf of Project Coyote. First and foremost, I'd like to commend the department staff for drafting this excellent proposed language. This is not an anti-hunting measure. It is not an anti-predator control measure or a measure that is targeting our state's rural communities or their way of life. This proposal in front of you today has one goal, which is to eliminate a state-sanctioned blood sport practiced by only a minuscule portion of the public. In no way does this regulation prevent the public from killing unlisted species such as coyote, nutria, or wild pigs. And in no way does it limit the amount of unlisted species that one may kill. But what it does do is this. It prevents a small minority of people from awarding prizes and making a game out of the mass killing of wildlife in Washington, wildlife that belongs to all citizens of the state. Furthermore, Washington State has already set precedents by adopting moral standards on comparable ethical issues in the past. Our state legislature took a stand against other blood sports by prohibiting animal fighting in 1982, despite the opposition of a vocal minority, and also voted unanimously to ban spree killing of wildlife in 2011. These practices are not missed, and Washington State is most certainly a better place because lawmakers took action to prohibit these brutal practices. At the core of this issue is ethics. Wildlife killing contests utterly violate the moral principles of the North American model of wildlife conservation, a model regularly touted by our own Department of Fish and Wildlife as a guiding tenet. This measure in front of you simply recognizes that the mass killing of animals for cash and prizes is wrong and runs counter to our state's ethics, principles, and values. Thank you so much. Thank you for your consideration of this issue.
Mr. Paul, Kim, Commissioner Thorburn has a question or comment.
Sure.
I keep hearing ethical. As someone who has a long academic career that focused on bioethics, I'm perplexed at people who don't participate claiming the ethical values. I will also would note that we've received a comment in the chat box that answers an issue that came up before, that in these contests in Washington, the carcasses are collected and the fur is taken, so they aren't wasted, as has been alleged. So I'm getting more perplexed about the use of ethics. Hunters have ethics. I realize that there's some disagreement among hunters about these contests, but generally, as I understand hunter ethics, the first and foremost is to follow the laws. We talk about fair chase. We talk about clean shots. We talk about mitigating wounding. Those are the ethics as I understand them. So I'm perplexed that non-hunters are claiming this is unethical when these contests really seem to meet all of the hunter ethics as I understand them.
Is that a question for me to respond to?
I don't think so. I mean, you've made your statement. I think we're fine with that. Commissioner Anderson would like to comment.
Yes, make sure I'm off mute. This is a follow-up to something you said, Dan, with regard to, you mentioned that spree killing of wildlife was changed in 2011. Can you inform me what that is? Because I wasn't paying attention in 2011, I guess.
Sure. And the department can clarify if I'm mistaken, but the legislation that passed essentially said that you couldn't kill multiple four or five of listed game species at a time at a single encounter. So people were, you know, mowing down deer and such in southwestern Washington at the time when this thing came to passage.
Well, that's kind of an odd thing. I'm just not aware of, you can only take one deer, maybe two with a special permit as, you know, by law. But okay. Thanks.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Paul. Nikki, how many more do we have today?
We have 10 left.
Okay, we got to move along. We've got other critical issues as well. So, folks, please make your comments as brief as you can and get your point across to us.
Okay, next is Deborah Chase, followed by Harriet Allen. Go ahead, Deborah. Make sure to unmute you on your end. There you go. Go ahead, Deborah.
Let's move on to the next. We'll come back, Nikki.
Okay. Okay, Harriet Allen, go ahead. Make sure to unmute yourself on your side.
Good morning. My name is Harriet Allen. I was a WDFW biologist, research scientist, and manager for 32 years, and I'm also a member of the Wildlife Society and served on its national board for 6 years. I want to support you in voting for these two proposed rule changes. As you may have seen, the Wildlife Society, which is an organization of over 11,000 professional wildlife biologists, recently developed an issue statement on wildlife killing contests. They recognize this as an emerging wildlife management issue. In it, they noted that killing contests differ from typical regulated hunting by the very nature of the organized competition and prizes being given specifically for killing the largest, smallest, or most animals. As Eric noted, nothing in the proposed rules before you limits or restricts or constrains already existing ability to hunt classified and unclassified wildlife in Washington. What they do achieve is an end to the practice of the department permitting people to kill wildlife in the department's name and under the department's authority in a contest setting, and they prohibit participating in these contests without a permit. The CR2 noted that the Fish and Wildlife Commission determined that these contests are not consistent with sound wildlife management principles. I personally have respect for ethical hunters and ethical hunting practices.
Hello, hello.
Hold on, Deborah.
I do not believe that killing contests are an ethical hunting practice. There's no evidence I'm aware of in Washington to support the contention that killing predators in contests is an effective wildlife management tool. I think you've heard about this. These rules will not restrict anybody's ability to lawfully hunt these species. Killing contests encourage and reward killing large numbers of wildlife, demonstrating a disrespect for and a devaluing of wildlife. It hurts the image of hunting, principles of respect for wildlife, and the department's stewardship role in managing the state's wildlife. As a retired WDFW employee and one who still cares about the department and its mission, I'm encouraged to see the proposed rule changes. They demonstrate an ethical approach to hunting and show respect for the animals whose lives are taken through hunting, and not disrespected as something to pile up as high as possible for entertainment, cash prizes, or false assumptions. Killing contests permitted by the department or done without a permit do not have a place in modern hunting, and I urge you to vote for the proposed rule changes to eliminate this practice. Thank you.
Any questions? Okay. Harriet, thank you for your call and comments. Next, Nikki, I think Deborah's available now. Mm-hmm.
Hi, everyone. Can you hear me this time?
Yeah, Jeff, go ahead.
Sorry about that. Good morning, commissioners. Deborah Chase, CEO of the Mountain Lion Foundation. I commend you for introducing the proposed rulemaking amendments to limit the way hunting contests are administered. And we at the Mountain Lion Foundation urge the commission to adopt them as outlined in this proposal. These rules don't go far enough, but I think they're a good start for everyone. It's well known that there's no scientific justification for this as a method of wildlife management and should not be used for some to use the contest for sport. I thank Commissioner Smith for his clear definition of the difference between killing and hunting. He makes an important distinction. And as someone that comes from a subsistence hunting family, we were always taught to hunt ethically. We only took what we needed to survive. And we were never taught that killing animals was fun. Just being outdoors was what was enjoyable. Wildlife killing competitions should be ethically upsetting to anyone that hunts by virtue and by natural law. My parents always taught us that any true hunter knows and believes that hunting contests are not the way of the honest sportsman or woman. And hunting should never be a competition because it ultimately degrades the value of life and fully undermines any respect for the animals being hunted. And it disrespects the sport. Thank you for your time this morning.
Deborah, thank you for your comments. Next, Nikki.
Next, we've got Leanne Kahlstrom, followed by Ruth Musgrave. Go ahead, Leanne.
I'm sorry, Nikki, did you say Lane?
I did, sorry.
Okay, great. Hi, Nikki. And
Good morning to the commissioners. My name is Lane Kallstrom. I'm the Director for State Affairs for Animal Wellness Action and a resident of Washington State. On behalf of our supporters in Washington State and supporters in our sister organization, the Center for Humane Economy, and myself, I would like to thank you for considering this issue today. I want to comment, I'm going to change my comments a bit based on this shortened time frame. I first learned about these when I lived in Arizona a few years ago and worked on getting them stopped in Arizona. And there were some questions earlier about what's happening in other states. And as such, I want to quote Kurt Davis, who's the chair of the Arizona Department of Fish and Game Commission, when he introduced this new rule a couple of years ago. He says, "I believe we have an issue before us today that is contrary to two important tenets of the North American model, one that does not allow the take or use of wildlife for economic benefit, and other that prohibits the take or use of wildlife for wasteful, illegitimate, or unsportsmanlike purposes. To continue to permit an activity that is contrary to these two important tenets undermines our duty as trustees for wildlife to ensure the proper use of wildlife." I also want to comment, there was a question about how effective these rule changes have been in other states. I would like to report that in Arizona, Kurt Davis has been reporting that there has been very good compliance with the new rule in Arizona. Arizona, as you all may know, had quite a number of wildlife killing contests, and those became illegal in November. The question about whether or not this contest should be defined, I just want to offer that some states do define contests as a competition among participants for prizes, cash, inducements, or entertainment. And lastly, I appreciate the comments that have been made earlier by Deborah, Sophia, and Dan, a number of others who have urged you to support the proposed rule changes. And I, Lane Kallstrom with Animal Wellness Action, also urge you to vote for the proposed rule changes. Thank you.
Lane, thank you for your call and comments. Next, Nikki.
Next is Ruth Musgrave, followed by Lisa Levinson. Go ahead, Ruth. Go ahead, Ruth.
Hello.
There we are. We hear you.
Okay, great. Sorry. I'd like to say personally that I support the proposed rules, although I find the language somewhat confusing. So California in 2014 was the first state to ban killing contests. I work with, by the way, 1,200 state legislators across the nation, including about 50 in Washington state. And so I'm giving you kind of a bird's eye view of what's going on in the nation. Vermont passed a statute in 2018 on killing contests. Then New Mexico in 2019 passed a bill. Also, their state land commissioner outlawed killing contests on state lands. Then Arizona, as you heard, the commission passed a rule prohibiting killing contests in 2019. In Massachusetts in 2019, a rule was passed by the Fisheries and Wildlife Board banning contests on predators and fur bearers and also prohibiting wanton waste of wildlife. And then Colorado this year, the Parks and Wildlife Commission, at the recommendation of their staff, passed a killing contest ban. Now, this is really catching on with legislators around the country because I have members in, let's see, New Hampshire, these are all states that had introduced bills in 2020 that did not get passed because the pandemic shut down their sessions. But in New Hampshire, it had already passed the Senate. New Jersey, that one is still active. New York has a bill that's still active. Oregon, I overheard some legislators at a dinner saying they are going to pass this bill if it's the last thing they do, but their session shut down. Wisconsin also had a bill, and it's going to be reconsidered in 2021. Now, I'd like to give you some thoughts just working with legislators. The Washington Wildlife Leaders Forum, many of them in Washington are aware of it, and some of them attended, and it came up with four priorities: trust, funding, public participation and engagement, and coalition building. And this state, more than most, depends on funding from the legislature. The funding comes from the taxpayer. It's my observation and opinion, if you publicly vote today to continue granting department permits for this killing practice, this will likely move to the legislature. And my further observation is that your legislators have taken note of the progress the department is making in conservation and relevance with the strategic plan and other actions. The legislature will also certainly take notice if this gets introduced as a bill. My personal opinion is that this will do nothing to build that trust or possibly build that funding. I've collected over the last couple years words that I've heard from legislators who are discussing this topic, and this is nationwide, including some of your legislators.
Ruth, you are at time.
Okay, I'll just put out a couple. These aren't animal rights legislators or anti-hunting, and this is also bipartisan. Shocking, barbaric, incredible. One said, this is done for fun. Stunned, this is done for prices. And I would just say that legislators across the nation are aware of this. There are so many bills that were introduced in 2020. And I think that your legislature and its observation of what the department is doing is going to be relevant to this decision. Thank you.
Thanks for your comments, Ruth. Okay, next, Nikki, please.
Next is Lisa Levinson, followed by Benjamin Paulus. Go ahead, Lisa.
Hi, this is Lisa Levinson with In Defense of Animals, and our organization, which is an international nonprofit, we actually do have a large number of supporters in the Washington State area, and we put together a petition and sent the responses to you. So we have 203 supporters who signed this petition in support of the ban. And we urge the commission to consider this and to ban wildlife killing contests in the state of Washington. So thank you very much for your time and consideration.
Thank you for your comments, Lisa. Nikki?
All right, Benjamin, followed by Story. Go ahead, Benjamin.
Good morning. My name is Benjamin Paulus. I support the proposed rule changes. I'm a hunter and a fisherman. Our family have been farmers and we used to be ranchers. I think wildlife management needs to be left to the Department of Fish and Wildlife. And I guess I believe contests like this give hunters like myself a bad name and they need to be banned. And I think this is a step in the right direction. Thank you for your time.
Thank you for your comments, Benjamin. Nikki?
Okay, next we have Story Warren, followed by Bob McCoy. Go ahead, Story.
Hello, members of the commission. My name is Story Warren. I grew up in Washington's outdoors, and I'm now studying wildlife biology at the University of Montana. Thank you for the opportunity to speak today, and thank you for taking a look at this issue. I'm here today to ask you to adopt the rule changes to end wildlife killing contests in Washington. Prohibiting these contests would not be an attack on hunting. If anything, it affirms that hunting is a respected, honored, and valuable tradition in Washington. Ethical hunting is based on sportsmanship and fair chase. It is not a game. My friends and peers who hunt have echoed Commissioner Smith's sentiment that hunting is about the experience more than racking up kills. As a non-hunter who deeply respects hunting, it seems to me that these contests glorify killing, not hunting. And to address previous comments about people who don't hunt commenting on the ethics of these contests, I would argue that as Washington citizens, we do participate in wildlife conservation. It's wildlife is a shared resource and it's everyone's business what happens to it. Again, to the North American model of wildlife conservation, which is largely responsible for the recovery and continued prosperity of our wildlife species. Wildlife can only be killed for a legitimate purpose. Wildlife is a shared resource that must not be wasted. This rule will show that WDFW values wildlife as a shared resource and is committed to science-based management of that resource into the future. As someone who spent my whole life enjoying and benefiting from that resource, I hope that you choose to adopt the rule changes today. Thank you very much.
Thank you for your... Yeah, go ahead, Brad. I know you want to recognize Story.
Yeah, I do. Hi, Story.
Hi. Good to see you.
She posted on your graduate school stuff.
For the commissioners that don't know Story, she's been coming in front of us for many years. How many times have you made appearances in front of us, Story, over the years? Do you recall?
Oh, I would guess close to 10, but I didn't really keep count.
And now she's all grown up.
Yeah, indeed. Well, thank you again and appreciate your comments.
Thank you.
Nikki?
Okay, next is Bob McCoy, followed by Frank Goricki. Go ahead, Bob.
Hello, Bob McCoy again, Sammamish, Washington. It'll take me more than 2 minutes to read the names of all the people that have said things that I think needed saying. So I encourage the commission to go ahead and approve these changes to the rule. I know a lot of people have spoken about these contests as if they're mostly coyote contests, but to me, they do seem to ignore the animals shall not be taken for frivolous reasons concepts of the North American model. So I also appreciate Dr. Smith's editorial comments. I think they ring true. So that said, please vote for these. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. McCoy, for your comments. Nikki, how many do we have left now?
We got two. We got Frank Goricki and then Diane Hendricks. Go ahead, Frank. Make sure to unmute yourself. This double muting thing seems to be a pattern today.
Remind him of Star Niner. I guess he knows that, huh? Okay, let's go to the next. We'll come back to... Oh, there's Frank.
Wait, there's Frank. Go ahead, Frank.
Did I find it? Okay.
Oh, there we are.
Buttons. It's high tech. Anyway, I live on a small farm in the Evergreen Valley. And my interest in this topic comes about because I'm a hunter of small and big game. And because in the last 3 years, coyotes have killed one of our sheep and a significant number of our ducks and geese. So I support hunting coyotes, but I'm completely against coyote killing contests. The killing contest doesn't show respect for the animals or the hunters. And because these are shared resources, they should not be wasted or killed for frivolous reasons. And the wildlife science suggests that indiscriminate killing is ineffective in decreasing livestock or ungulate losses, but an effective strategy is to target specific animals. And as hunters represent a smaller percentage of the population, growing segments of society are questioning the validity of hunting. And killing contests raise public concerns and could possibly jeopardize the future of all hunting. So I urge the commission to vote for the proposed changes. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments, Frank. Next, Nikki.
All right. And our final speaker for this item, Diane Hendricks. Go ahead, Diane. Wait. Okay, I'm going to promote Diane to panelist because she's using an older version of Zoom. Otherwise, she won't be able to talk, but I'll promote her back down afterward. Okay, Diane, go ahead. You got to unmute yourself.
Good morning. Can you hear me?
We can.
Okay, sorry, I'm not computer literate. I didn't realize I was using an old version. I just want to say that I would support the rule changes. I'm not against hunting. I'm not a hunter, but I think that these are just killing contests. I'm afraid that when they're going out there taking their children, this is just target practice. I'm concerned that the science is not being followed. This doesn't stop anything from happening with other predators. This is just people that want to go out and shoot for practice. They're probably injuring animals that are laying there. And again, I don't know what somebody said. One of the commissioners said that they do not waste the animals. I'm curious what they do with all the ones that are killed. You also stated that there is a year-round hunting season on coyotes. So why does there have to be these contests where they go out and kill so many when they're allowed to kill them year round anyway?
Does that conclude your comments, Diane?
Well, yes, but I'm curious what they do with these animals that are killed, and do they...
We're not able
hunting, to... Hunting, in my mind, is hunting for food or sport, not going out and killing, like everyone has said, 4, 5, 6 animals at a time and coming up with 300 to 500 den animals in one day.
Well, the commission can't provide answers to questions online like this, so I'm sorry. You'll have to take it up with one of the staff people on Monday.
I will forward a letter. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Appreciate your comments.
Thank you.
Okay. One commissioner has been very patient. Commissioner Kehoe has something to say.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I wanted to wait until I heard the public testimony before I kind of asked my questions. And so, first of all, I really appreciated the dialogue between Commissioner Smith and Commissioner Thorburn. I mean, that's solid gold. That's worth the price of admission. excellent dialogue. And I think for me, it highlights the difficulty of this issue. I think Commissioner Smith was completely right. And I think Commissioner Thorburn, with the points that she makes, is completely correct. So that's kind of just tips it off. And if Anise, if he's there and could share his screen, I'd like to go back to slide 5, please.
Yeah, sure. One second. Are you seeing the screen?
Yes, we are. So I guess my question, Anise, is this is titled Recommended Rule Change. So is staff recommending that we adopt this rule change? And if that's the recommendation, then what's the basis for the recommendation?
So that is correct. That's the department's recommendation, and it's based on an ask that the commission gave us to look at this issue and reduce or not allow contests that have a numerical basis in them.
So the recommendation is based on I think it was Commissioner Baker's blue sheet about, you know, looking at potential languages that would restrict or limit or ban these types of hunting contests, correct?
Correct.
Okay. So, you know, Anise, I wanted to get back to the point that you made in your presentation, or maybe in response to question, at least from a biological perspective, there's no real biological concern concerning these wildlife contests taking place.
That is correct. Yeah. From our perspective, biologically, and from the things we can measure, there really is not a biological issue to ban these contests.
And a couple more, Mr. Chair. I'll try to do this rapid fire. Commissioner Anderson brought up some interesting comments based on his conversations with folks about these hunting contests potentially altering the behavior of coyotes and thereby making them more difficult to hunt or to control. Is there any science or published papers that you're aware of that describe this phenomenon, or are these kind of just ad hoc observations? And not to discount ad hoc observations.
Right. So I'm not aware of any papers that look at this specifically, but it is a known, those folks that do hunt coyotes and have hunted coyotes for a long time, they're very smart animals. They learn very quickly. And yeah, if you miss them once, you're likely not going to get a chance to see them again.
Okay. And then one last question. Thank you, Mr. Chair. You know, this, we've got two recommended rule changes. And so this is, we're looking at this one on the screen. What, could you just go to the second recommended rule change? Yeah. So is it possible that the commission could adopt, say, this rule change, making it unlawful to participate, in hunting contests without adopting the first recommended rule change in the prior slide. Is that an option?
Is that, that's a procedural issue, and I would maybe leave that up to the AGs.
Okay, well, I would like an answer.
You can do whatever you want.
I don't know if we need to have it today, but you know, before this matter is scheduled for a vote, I'd like to know the answer to that question. Could we do one of these and not the other? I mean, specifically, could we approve this change but not the other? And one last comment. I apologize. I know we've got a lot of things. I thought Ms. Musgrave's testimony was very interesting to me about the efforts done throughout the country in restricting or limiting or banning these types of hunting contests. It sounds to me that most of the effort is done by not always, but by legislatures. I thought that was an interesting comment. I respectfully disagree, though, with her opinion that somehow the legislature would look down on the commission somehow if we were to just defer to the legislature on whether to make these things illegal. So that's my questions and comments. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
One thing maybe to clarify, the reason that that's the case is a lot of states, the wildlife agency does not regulate these contests. So it sometimes does fall to the legislature.
That's useful. Okay, thank you.
First, we have Commissioner, we now have Joe Pinesco.
Yeah, the very short answer to Commissioner Kehoe's answer is yes, the commission could choose to adopt either one or both or none of these rules, and all of those would be procedurally proper under the Administrative Procedures Act. Although, remember, today is not a vote by the commission on this topic. This is just the hearing, and the commission will be taking final action on this at, I believe, the August 21st online meeting.
Thank you, Mr. Pinesco. Okay, we have two commissioners I'm aware that have their hand up. The first one is Commissioner Linville, and I think the last one will be Commissioner Baker. Commissioner Linville.
I'm only bringing this up because... Go ahead.
I'm sorry?
I heard a voice.
I was just going to say, I have my hand up as well.
I'm sorry, I was not aware of that, but okay. You ladies, the three of you, can take it whatever order you want.
So I'm bringing this up because I did not hear this particular aspect in any of the testimony presented today. It was important for me to ask right up front if... the department, you know, still had, if they wanted to use, you know, sort of pulling together hunters as a management tool, you know, that was still possible. And the reason for that is these hunting contests are indiscriminatory in another manner that wasn't being brought up today. And that is that they are not targeting a particular area. And so what we find just personally on our ranch is we always know when these contests are going on because people are zooming up and down our road and they are shooting into our agricultural fields and trespassing during these contests. And the reason those coyotes are in our agricultural fields is because they're eating gophers, and I always say they are our only free employees. They're our only employees on the ranch. And so that's, you know, we have livestock guardian dogs that we feel have created a very comfortable stasis of you know, everybody sort of knows their place. And so that gets really disrupted when people come and kill coyotes on this place. And the other thing about it is when you are talking numerical, that adds a level of, you know, anxiousness to get out there and get as many as you can. And what we find is if the folks were not successful during the day, they come back at night and they spotlight for coyotes on our place. And that's when our livestock guardian dogs are out working. And so, you know, if the department was targeting an area, you know, because they wanted to reduce coyote predation on sage grouse or whatever, you know, that is a very different picture than running around all over the country just shooting coyotes wherever you find them. That would be a targeted approach that I absolutely would agree with and support. So I just wanted to point out that when it's a non-targeted approach, it's not going to have any biological, helpfulness anyways. So that's all I wanted to say. Thanks.
Commissioner Thorburn.
Thank you. Just a couple of comments. Thank you, Commissioner Kehoe, for pointing out the language on Anissa's slides that recommended rule change. As I recall, during the baiting debate that we went through, we came to the conclusion that there really wasn't much biologic ground to make a rule change. We made a minor change and decided it was a social issue. And consequently, staff did not come with a recommendation. And this seems very similar to me. And in response to your question, Anise basically said the recommendation was based on our request. So I would ask that we consider this similarly, and that if staff really doesn't have a position on this, that it not be called a recommendation. The second point that I wanted to make in regards to Commissioner Linville's last comments, these contests are permitted. We can put whatever parameters around that permit are necessary, and it seems to me that the concerns that you raise could be dealt with a permit. Those are my comments.
Thank you, Commissioner Thorburn. Paul, you got your hand up again? That's fine. I'm just because I got a whole bunch of hands up. So let me go.
May I respond to that just briefly?
Yeah, just respond, then we'll go to Commissioner Baker.
Yeah, so I appreciate that, Commissioner Thorburn. That sort of goes, you know, our law enforcement officers are already stretched very thinly. When people are spotlighting at night, you know, that is a big danger. And we call the game wardens, I'm sorry, the wildlife officers every time. I'm sure there's a long, you know, history, phone history on that. And they're just spread too thin to be able to deal with that. And if writing it in a permit does not sort of change that aspect of it. I mean, I guess maybe if you, yeah, I just feel like that putting that in the permit isn't, you know, they're already supposed, there's already in the hunting pamphlet, I think it's like the first couple of lines in, the first thing the hunting pamphlet says is know where you're hunting and whose property you're hunting on and have permission. That's A number one, and I can guarantee you that's not happening in these contests.
Okay. Thank you, Commissioner Linville. And we're going to go to Commissioner Baker, then Commissioner Smith, and then Commissioner McIsaac.
Thank you, Chair Carpenter. This has been an extremely interesting conversation for me. I wanted to make a couple of comments. The first was, actually, I read in the Commissioner Thorburn's spokesman op-ed that this was as a reason that we're listening, we're doing all this as a result of big interests who are controlling our agenda. And I wanted to make it clear, as the person who brought the blue sheet on this, that the first person who ever talked to me about this issue was Diane Gallegos, and I think it was our first conversation when I became a commissioner. So this has been ongoing for a while. At that point, I was astounded that the commission or that WDFW permits these kind of contests, and was happy to bring it to the Wildlife Committee not once but four times, where we had thorough discussions, and I actually thought there was a lot more unanimity in the correct approach than there apparently is. Actually, I was naively thought this was going to be a fairly easy thing because it so doesn't fit with my values. And so that's the next thing I wanted to point out, is that there's a lot of things that people are raising today, but the crux of the issue, at least to me, is whether the practice of permitting killing of a public trust for its own sake, just to kill, to win a game, fits with the values under which we operate. We each have to make that decision for ourselves, but we use as a touchstone for that the North American model of wildlife management. And it's pretty clear that wildlife may only be killed for a legitimate, non-frivolous purpose. So again, that's another thing that we each have to decide for ourselves. But to me, it is real clear that killing for a game or killing to win money is the definition of frivolous. All of the hunters that I've heard from, maybe it's because they know where I stand on this, but the hunters that have talked to me about this issue believe that it sullies hunting and the respect that hunters have for the critters that they kill, and that this is something that very few hunters actually engage in this practice and support this rule change. The last thing that I want to note, two more quick things. One is, actually, I disagree with my respected colleague, Commissioner Kehoe. On the optics of this, if we were to punt on this and send it to the legislature, I believe not only would that make us look bad and not fulfilling our fledgling reaffirmation of the topics of conservation, and so I think it would make fish and wildlife look bad, and I think there are many, many people in this state who don't know that we're doing this practice, and so it would also sully the reputation of responsible hunters. I like the word responsible better than ethical for the value judgments that Commissioner Thorburn has raised several times this conversation. Finally, the last thing I want to say is I also disagree with Commissioner Thorburn on whether this is a recommendation. We have thoroughly vetted this. It was decided at an open public meeting of the commission that the staff recommended this rule change. I distinctly remember a discussion in which Director Susewin weighed in. And I mean, if we need to put that to bed for any particular purpose, I imagine we can, but it was clear that this was a rule change that was recommended by the staff. So with that, and especially in the interest of time, I will stop. Thanks, Larry.
Thank you, Commissioner Baker. Commissioner Smith and then Commissioner McIsaac.
Yeah, thanks, Larry. I'll just take a moment. But somebody raised a point earlier, one of those speakers, that about the image and what this does to hunting. And for those of you that have known me throughout my tenure on the commission, I've always been actively engaged in trying to get youth more involved. I'm concerned about the demise of the hunting tradition. I'm concerned about the demise of the number of of youth going into to hunting and fishing. In this state, it's about 4 or 5%, which is about the same around the country, but going down. What is going to help that number go down even faster and further is the image of a pile of dead critters out there. It's just like the image of a person standing next to a dead giraffe or a dead lion that goes into social media. And I know people can argue the value of doing that, but the thought of somebody standing next to a dead giraffe or 20 bodies of coyotes is in going out publicly across social media is not going to help in the recruitment of youth into hunting or the hunting tradition. This is an actual case of we are shooting ourselves in the foot to allow that sort of thing. So that was just a different perspective, but I, as a hunter again, and maintaining the tradition, I'm concerned about that image, the visual image.
Thank you, Commissioner Smith. Commissioner McIsaac, please.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have a question for our attorney, Joe Panesco. Before I do that, though, just as a matter of protocol here, these webinars are very good to get into these deliberations and be able to see people's body language and the rest, but we need to turn off this chat feature where people from the attendees are putting written comments up during the middle of commissioner deliberations. That's completely out of order. My question has to do with slide 6, which is the second of those two rules. And so it says in yellow, it is unlawful to participate. I think below it says it's an infraction to operate. I think you've cleared that part up. My question has to do with, should this motion pass, there are legal contests for species with bag limits, deer and elk were mentioned. If this would pass this language, then it would be unlawful to participate in one of those for which there had no permit been issued. And so it would be the obligation of the people participating in those contests to find out if the operator had got a permit or not, which seems like a kind of an unreasonable obligation in a way for the participants to have to go check on that kind of a thing. Is that the right way to think about this? Or would that not be an enforceable thing to mandate that you have to check on somebody else's permit?
So Commissioner McIsaac, Chair Carpenter, I can address that question if that's... So on its face, yes, the rule does make it a potential infraction for any participant of a contest if the contest has not been lawfully permitted. So should a participant be cognizant of the legality of the contest? Yes, they should. And Anise may be able to address this further. I don't know the details about how these contests are carried out. My recollection, I believe the sponsor is supposed to have a copy of their valid permit with them when they do the contest. So I don't think it is impractical or onerous for a contestant to be shown the permit, because I believe the sponsor is required to have it there. But again, I'll defer to staff to correct that. But the second layer on top of this is we have the discretion of our fish and wildlife officers, right? That just because something might be a violation doesn't mean that every single one is going to be charged. And in fact, in this arena, this is one where my understanding of the philosophy of department staff and enforcement is more education than citing people and prosecuting, and they really do reserve throwing the book at someone for the egregious cases. So one of the considerations is, will staff be reasonable in not pursuing someone where it really looks like they were truly an innocent party who were misled by a sponsor who lied or provided a forged document? Personally, I'm not concerned about that. Based on my experience and working with the agency, I don't see situations like that arise.
Okay. Brad, do you have your hand up again, or you just have failed to take it down?
I'm done there.
Okay. Commissioner Graybill.
Thank you, Chair. I just wanted to follow up a little bit on Brad Smith's last comment from a personal observation. Probably 12 or 15 years ago, there was a coyote contest held in Wenatchee. And the local sponsor was a sporting goods store in town. And all of the people that participated met in the parking lot with the coyotes that they had taken during the contest. So they were on open display. That was the last time that retailer sponsored the contest, and there has not been another contest held to my knowledge. Because of the people that, this is a busy store, just the people coming by and seeing the results caused the sponsor to withdraw from any future contests. And I think it reflects a little bit about what Commissioner Smith is speaking to. This was well before social media had the impact that it does. This was just in our local community some time ago. But it gives you an impression of what the general public feels about this type of activity.
Thank you, Commissioner Graybill. Director, I see, oh, you went away. Oh, there you are. Would you like to comment or?
Like to is probably the wrong term.
feel free, Kelly.
But I'm feeling like maybe I should, especially since there's some discussion around agency recommendation or not. So I'm gonna try to address that question. And it's going to probably sound like a little bit of a bob and a weave, but I'll get there. First, I think Anise is right. This is recommended language should the commission decide they want to restrict these contests. We work hard with our staff. There's not a biological driver here one way or the other, particularly. In that case, you all are in your positions for a reason, and that is to make these kinds of decisions. I really believe this is a policy level commission type decision. So that's why I think Anise was careful in his wording. I'll give you my own personal opinion, and it's that as your employee, I support this language. I obviously am a hunter, much like Commissioner Smith. I chose my career path because of that love for hunting. I don't want to lose track of our fishermen. I really, really like fishing, but I love hunting. And I've dispatched my fair share of coyotes. I've not participated in a contest. Frankly, the skill level to be a true coyote hunter in a contest is above where I'm at by a long shot. But part of my job, and frankly, part of my soul, is to promote hunting, to get our youth hunting, to really have this be a core piece of what our society supports. And frankly, that job's a lot harder if we're condoning these types of contests. And for that reason, I personally support this language, but that's me as an individual. The agency's here to respect your decision and implement your decision.
Thank you, Director. Okay. I want to comment just for a minute. I'm not going to comment on this issue right now because I've heard a lot, and I'll keep my powder dry for the moment. But Commissioner McIsaac raised, we're getting all these pop-ups on the bottom of the screen with a variety of people's issues. I tend to agree with Commissioner McIsaac. I don't think that's appropriate when we're trying to run a meeting here. And I don't know what we can do to fix that, Nikki, but I would like it looked into. I think it's, I don't know how the rest of you feel, but it's a little bit distracting to me. So anyway, I believe this concludes this agenda item. If not, somebody tell me so.